Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm here with Rebecca. And we are amazed every week. We get reports from our team in West Africa of who they've rescued that week or updates of programs. And we're blown away every week by who we hear and the lives that are saved. So, Rebecca, what was our report this week?
Yeah, this week we had one of our monitors. She was visiting two twin boys that are on our program. They've been on our program for 3 years, and their older sister was home for holidays. And our monitor was like, I've never seen you before. Tell me what's, you know, who you are and all that. Come to find out, she has been a slave in the neighboring country for most of her life. And her father was sending her back that week to go back. And how my staff put it in her report was back to her master to continue work. And the master generously, you know, let her come home for the holidays, but was wanting her back. And so our staff member intervened and got with the grandmother, who did not want her granddaughter to go back to the neighboring country to be a slave. They worked hard to get her into an apprenticeship. And so this week she just started a sewing apprenticeship, and they had to put her in the neighboring town to live with someone in the neighboring town so that she's not resold, because the father just wants money for this girl. He has no natural affection for his daughter. He doesn't care that she's been being beat every day of most of her life and is used on every level. It's horrific. I was looking at the picture. The girl looks about 17 years old. So she's, you know, almost an adult, but she doesn't know how to read and write. She doesn't know anything with how to survive in life. So this apprenticeship is going to be what she needs to help her not only learn a trade, but our staff is going to stay real close to her to just, yeah, teach her about life in the real world outside of slavery. It's kind of shocking.
Do you know, so her former, I'll use the word master because that's what our staff said. What, like, is he, do you have any idea, like, are there any repercussions for her not coming back?
Oh, I'm sure there will be. Yeah, there'll definitely be repercussions. This is what happens on a regular basis. Our staff is very familiar with it. The man is going to be livid and mad, and the father is going to be livid and mad. And then we get the police involved and say, it's actually illegal to do what you're doing. And so if you don't want to go to jail, then you will leave this girl in peace. And that's why I know that they put her in the neighboring town, because she would be retaken and she'd be lost forever. They would hide her. You know, it's all money, money, money. So yeah, her life was literally rescued, and now she's on our program in an apprenticeship. You know, the apprenticeship was paid for by many of you who have given towards our apprenticeship programs, and this is a life rescued. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so tell us about these apprenticeships. Which one did she choose? And why is it that we established and, you know, we saw a need for these apprenticeships? Can you kind of explain that a little bit in case a listener doesn't know?
Yes. So this girl is a prime candidate of the why. She has never gone to school. She doesn't know how to read and write. If she's rescued, we can't even put her into school. Like, she would go to kindergarten as a 17-year-old. We could get her a tutor, but she doesn't know how to even live life, and her father just wants money from her. So if she's in an apprenticeship, then it's, now obviously he still wants money right away for her, and that's why he's trying to sell her again, or send her back to the master, as they put it. But if she is in an apprenticeship, she literally is rescued immediately, because she's doing something for the future, and she's getting a trade which will be able to earn money ultimately the family thinks she's going to give money to them and support the family and all that stuff. So it's all what can they gain from it. At the same time, for us, it's helping her understand her rights and that she can do this. She can do this on her own, you know, in partnership with us. And she's going to be okay. She's going to be successful. Now, obviously, we have to introduce her to Jesus and the healing that has to come and the trauma that she's been through. This is a whole nother sphere that we have to help these kids in. It's definitely a process. So yes, so we got her into a sewing apprenticeship, which was her choice. She wanted to be a seamstress. So that's usually a 3-year program where she'll just work every day learning that trade, and then she'll, you know, get tips and different things from people who she sews for, but she won't get paid a salary. So she's still going to be a sponsored child on our program while she's in an apprenticeship. And then we take care of the apprenticeship fees through the scholarships that we give to these girls, or some of them are boys as well.
Yeah. So we've had, because we've been telling families, if you can bring your children back, and even if they're too old, that's where we realized, oh, they need an apprenticeship so they can learn a trade, so they have a life skill. And these apprenticeships do cost $900. That covers 3 years. There's 3 years of their program. And we hired people in the community who, you know, have businesses. This, you know, they have a sewing business, for example. And if we, would they be willing to take on apprentices to learn from them? And then they have this skill that then they can take out into the world and use to help make money for their future families. And so if anyone wants, I mean, we have more apprenticeships coming every day. So if anyone wants to support or scholarship an apprentice child, you can go to orphanreliefandrescue.org for that. But Rebecca, so the other extension of this is you've been dreaming for a couple of years about specifically girls that come back who are older and are endangered of being re-trafficked again and wanting a safe place for them, you know? So this girl in particular, is she in a foster situation in the neighboring village?
Yeah, I'm not sure. She probably lives with the apprentice. They probably made, you know, some sort of special arrangement for her to live with the seamstresses or the apprentice teacher. Usually would say, yes, I can take her in. You know, if you pay for food and, you know, her living expenses, yes, I can take her in. So that's where a lot of these girls end up. But yeah, it's not ideal for sure, because we can't monitor every day, every moment of how that person is treating them. So that's, you know, it's a little dicey, but it's rescuing them from slavery. So that's good.
Well, I'm curious, will you share a little bit more about your dream? I know it's still kind of unfolding.
Yes. Ultimate dream is to have a safe place for girls. I would love to have these girls, pull them under one roof where they can sleep safely and be discipled and just be in a place of, just really be mentored, you know, in a group setting, and then go to, in a sense, their workplace, their apprentice, their training place, you know, every day, or bring that training program in-house, make it like a boarding school. Ultimately, the boarding school scenario would be the best, in my opinion, just because we've seen a lot of these apprentice teachers, they're not of the same faith. And so there's compromise in all these different areas. They're not getting the help that they need because of the trauma that they've been through. So it's kind of like we're putting a Band-Aid for temporary, but yet at the same time, our staff are still involved in their life, and we're encouraging them to go to the local church where, if it's in this area close to where our staff live, you know, we tell them, you know, go to this particular church where you're going to actually learn more about Jesus. You're going to, you know, be able to take some courses on some healing things, you know, that you can get for your emotional well-being. I mean, when you have, right now, we have over 700 kids on our program that we've intercepted from being sold or trafficked. And there's over 50 kids now on those apprenticeship programs that fall under that 700 number, because we're caring for them every day. We're feeding them every day, making sure they're taken care of. So yeah, it's definitely a huge need, definitely a dream. I would love one day to be able to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little similar to our safe home, which is like true orphans live in this safe home. There's 61 children, but we have apprenticeships on site there. You know, we have a hotelery school, we have a sewing, we have hairdressing, computer. So that's actually on site, and then agriculture too. So if we could kind of replicate that, but have it just be for girls, specifically a safe home for girls, where then you take it a step up where they can then also receive healing from trauma, it would be amazing.
Yeah, we would call it a boarding school because you don't get under all of the accreditation process is really stringent for safe homes. So having it as a boarding school, you don't have that same, it's under education. It's a whole different, you know, realm. So it's more doable for the accreditation process. And really for what we're doing, it would be a boarding school. So yeah, it's definitely the dream.
Yeah. So we're also excited that the well is complete on Freedom Center number 5. So we received videos and beautiful pictures. So tell us about that, Rebecca.
Okay. So setting the stage of this one. This is the village where every family has trafficked at least one child. It's desert land. There is not water just readily available. These kids don't have water. They walk for miles for water. So we have someone generously donated, and then we're going to start the construction of the Community Freedom Center this next week for that particular area. This is an area where they're just starting to learn about Jesus. Basically, let's see, we've been there for 9 months. They've started to learn about Jesus, and literally we're seeing lives being transformed. But when I got pictures and video of this well, which Deb is going to share this in the show notes, a link to this picture, but they literally videoed the first part of, you know, they pipe it in, they've drilled it, they piped it in, and then the dirty water is coming through first, and the dirty water is just spewing through, and the kids are all around with their bowls, like waiting, you know, intently for that clean water to come out. And as soon as the clean water, like, just shoots out after all that muddy and dirt and everything's already spewed out, they just mob this water, and they're just filling up their bowls, and they're spraying it over their bodies, and they're just thoroughly enjoying this clean water. And as I'm watching this, I'm like, this has just changed everything for those villagers. Now, this well is going to be shared with all the villagers. They, you know, they have to walk for miles, so they don't bathe a lot because they have to carry the bucket of water home, usually a mile or two. So now there's going to be water available, and we'll have it open certain hours, you know, because you have to have a lock and key, or they'll drain it dry. So you got to, you know, have it structured, but they're going to have access to water that they can not only bathe so that they don't get these infections that fester and have all these wounds, but they're going to be drinking clean water that's free of bacteria, free of all of the yucky stuff that could kill them, literally, and make them sick. And as this fresh water is being poured out, I'm like, this is symbolic to the living water that we get with Christ. So this is a physical manifestation of what physically what clean water does. And when these kids are little, you know, little children are thirsty and they're filling up their bowls and just lapping it, you know, drinking and putting it all over their bodies. And it's just like, wow. Like, this is what we get when we come to Jesus. Like, we are, without Jesus, we're literally spewing out that muddy water. That dirty water is being spewed out. And once we come to Jesus, you know, he cleans us up. His Spirit lives in us. And we are able to live this life of beauty that Jesus promises us. That's his life in us. And then everywhere we go, whatever we do, we're spewing out this fresh water, this living water that's beautiful. And I was reading some scriptures this week before I even got those pictures. And it was the John 7:37. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And then the John 4:10-14. And so Jesus answered and said to her, if you know the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become to him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And just this whole living water thing, you know, that's what's mulling over in my head as I'm envisioning the physical water, the clean water just spewing out and knowing what that's going to do for this village. That is going to transform physically, bringing life to them. And spiritually, all these people coming to Jesus, and literally we're hearing story after story of them choosing to bless their neighbor instead of curse them when they're harmed by a neighbor. All of these forgiveness things that we're starting to hear about. And that is what's going to transform this village spiritually. Like, Jesus is coming in and it's going to change their hearts, going to heal their hearts. But it's literally going to take the scales off of their eyes and help them to see the beauty of the Lord and the beauty in others. And they're going to, like this father who is sending his daughter away, you know, he has no thought or care about her living with this person who's using her as a slave. To him, he's just getting some money for it. That's the blinding part, that without Jesus in these villages, they have those blinders on. They have those scales that Paul talked about when, you know, he literally said scales fell off his eyes, you know, when he accepted Jesus. And so when these different villagers were seen in the practical sense, when they come to Jesus, they begin to value their children and all of that. We've talked a lot about that on our podcast. But anyway, this whole well thing and the fresh water is just so symbolic, so incredible. And it just makes me so even more like excited to just continue to follow Jesus in just this passionate way, because we are the living water wherever we go. We are spewing that fresh water of Jesus wherever we go if we're healthy with the Lord. Now, there's lots of people who aren't healthy. We all know them. Hurt people hurt others. And there's people that profess to be Christians and lovers of Jesus, and yet they're walking in this hurt realm and they're spewing this muddy water at people. I don't want to be that. I want to be the fresh, clear, beautiful, abundant water that's flowing out of my life and spewing out the love of Jesus wherever I go and watching the beauty of the Lord flow. And that is what all of our staff on the ground and our U.S. staff, everyone that loves Jesus, we're seeing just this beauty flow through their lives. So yeah, it's very symbolic. And the Lord's speaking to me a lot just through these visuals of watching, continually watching what the Lord is doing. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. I know we've said this here before, that whenever we go to West Africa, it really does make the Bible come to life. And so this is just one more example of, you know, God himself, that being that source of living water and that refreshment, that you see it when you see the dirty, filthy water or no access to water, or you go to a stream that's filled with bacteria and that's where they get their water. And then all of a sudden you see this beautiful, clear, flowing water. It's the perfect image of who God is in for our life, that we all need water. We can't survive without water. And so what does it mean to have the living water, the refreshment for our souls? And so, Rebecca, we always close out this podcast with a word of encouragement. So if anyone out there needs refreshment for their soul, let's say, what would you say to them if they need this, you know, living water, that refreshment that you can get, that's what they need spiritually in their lives? What would you say?
Yeah, I would say take a pause and just listen to some worship music. I would say just dig in to the Word of God. For me, you know, you guys heard me on the last podcast where I was talking about the John 14 to 17, where it's just Jesus's words saying, you know, "I love you, you are my home." All of those things, reminding yourself of who he is in us. And yeah, just being able to pause and take that moment, those moments with the Lord, is what fills us, replenishes us. And that's where his Spirit touches our spirit and transforms our heart. And that's the supernatural part. That's the beauty and the supernatural part that we can't We can't physically put our finger on how the Lord does that, but that's the beauty of what he does. And so allow his spirit to touch your spirit and just tell him, I'm dry, I'm empty, I need you, I need you. And just close your eyes and allow him to speak to your spirit and just fill you up. And it's just, yeah, a lot of times it's in the crazy busyness, you know, the phones are our biggest distraction. And I've had to be extra disciplined recently. I've just been challenged to put my phone in a whole nother room where I can't just grab it when I'm up at 3 a.m. using the restroom and then, oh, just looking at the phone just to even see what time it is and then realize, oh, somebody dinged me from Africa. Oh, let me see what that is. No, I don't do that anymore. That's in the other room. It's not going to distract me. And it's just me literally saying, Lord, I'm focusing on you throughout the whole night. And yeah, just having that time to be a prayer time if I can't go to sleep. And I think the enemy doesn't like those prayer times because I usually fall asleep pretty quickly when I start to pray. So it's kind of a good thing too. But yeah, just taking that moment, those moments for the Lord and being, you know, being really, I would say, jealous of that time and not allowing other things to distract us in those moments where we know we're to focus on what the Lord is asking us to do in that moment. And there's so many distractions. I mean, unbelievable distractions everywhere. And we have to be disciplined to stop the distraction so that we can literally hear the voice of the Lord speak to our heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, take a moment. Pause, take a moment and just ask God, you know, I want to make my home with you, be at home in my heart. I want that peace. I want that. I want you. I want you. Who are you? I want more of you. So, and if you all want to join, partner with Orphan Relief and Rescue, either with an apprenticeship, or if you'd like to help invest into this dream of creating a safe space, a boarding school for girls that have been rescued from trafficking, please contact us, reach out to us at orphanreliefandrescue.org. You can email us at info@orphanreliefandrescue.org. And we'd look forward to hearing from you, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.